we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to be the lead pastor around these parts. It is a beautiful day in Plano, Texas, and I'm excited to be preaching the Word of God to you today. Hello, as always, to our online watchers and listeners. We love you guys. You can lurk as long as you want, guys. That's what the internet does. They just lurk in the background. They listen. They watch. I would challenge you to give us a comment, give us a like. Don't just lurk. Let us know you're out there. We love to hear from you. We are in the fifth week and the final week of our sermon series. Somebody help me what the name of this sermon series is. The Lame Games We Play. We have talked about the shame game. We have talked about the blame game. We have talked about the name game. And we have talked about the same game. Today, in the final installment of this series, we're going to talk about the fame game. Somebody said fame game. Not yet. All right. All right, good. They're ready for it. The fame game. The fame game is a game where you define your value by having gained the attention of others. I'm going to say that again for you. The fame game is a game where you define your value. You win this game by having gained the attention of others. If you don't have the attention of others, you lose. If the others don't think nice things about you, you lose. You get it? Do you think our culture plays the fame game? Oh, absolutely they do. Do you think our society is constantly trying to gain the attention of others? That's all social media is. Yeah, people flip out when their Instagram picture from the front row of the Beyoncé concert doesn't get enough likes. If you knew how many times they took that one picture to get it look just right, and if you knew how much they spent on those tickets, and if you were depending on the validation of others like them, you would be upset too. Absolutely. You know how much front row tickets for Beyoncé go? It's thousands. Don't care is also an appropriate answer. All right. We will trade being a good person for someone saying we are a good person. Think about that for a second. Being a good person isn't as important as that person says I'm a good person. Think about that for a moment. Somehow more value is placed on the attention of others than the actual content of our character. Everyone said content of our character. We're going to be coming back to that over and over today. This is the fame game where we spend more energy on gaining attention than on growing as a person. But is the name on the cover more important than the content within? In 1982, there was a sci-fi film that came out that was world-changing. Can anyone guess what it was? E.T. Y'all are like in the gifts of the Spirit right now. How did you know it was E.T.? Right? And in its time, it was the highest grossing film of all time. All right? The movie is E.T. Atari, the leading video game console at the time. You've heard of Atari. Anyone heard of Atari? Raise your hand. All right. Even some youngins have heard of Atari, right? All right. They're like, it's a terrible disease that we really need to end. Atari. No, Atari is a video game console in the 80s. It was really a big deal. They thought that they needed to cash in on the cultural phenomena by making a video game version of the popular movie. They're like, this movie is making so much money. What if we made a video game and made so much money? And they all high-fived in the meeting room. Atari paid $22 million for the rights to make an E.T. game. This is that game. Appear to be amazed by this awesome gameplay. If you can figure out what's going on, please explain it to me. He needs that thing there. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's a dude. Oh my goodness. They took him to Rome. Oh. Oh. This is amazing. Oh! That might be good. It might be bad. Well, that's the TARDIS in the background. All right. What? This was a speed run of that game. That was all the game has to offer. You just saw it. That was the ending of the game. You have that little figure just walking around a house, walks through the house and walks around the house, walks through the house and walks around the house. That is how the game ends. It just keeps doing that until you turn the game off, you pour gasoline on it, and you light it on fire. It was hard to understand what was going on. Those were holes that they were falling into, and there were pieces of his starship in there, and somehow he was able to phone home, and he had to wait for the ride, and there was an FBI agent and some kind of doctor, and they were doing tests on him. I don't know, really. Y'all got all of that, right? Y'all got that from seeing that, right? The E.T. video game broke records in release sales. Never before had a game released so strongly. Whoa, we are in the money, Atari thought. When E.T. hit the stores, people recognized it by name, and they bought it up. I gotta get, my kid loves E.T. I gotta get my kid this E.T. video game. All right? But this only happened for them to take it home, take the game out, put it in the console, and then realize, this is a terrible game. Yeah. And to get this for my kid is really child abuse. Many of the people who bought the game brought it right back, and they were furious. A guy named Howard Scott Warshaw is the maker of this game. I'm sorry, Howard. He was approached by his bosses at Atari to make the game. Now get this. They gave him 5 weeks to make the video game. So don't be too hard on Howard. Oh, Howard, I feel you, man. Here's the deal. They bought it for $22 million, but they didn't have foresight. They're like, knee-jerk reaction to the market of everyone buying a ticket to go see E.T. So now they're like, hey, can you pump out a video game? Five weeks is all you get. The bosses, this is what Warshaw said. This is a quote from him. The bosses believe that as long as we put anything out the door with E.T.'s name on it, it would sell millions and millions. The E.T. game failed so badly that the company actually tried to bury their problem. This is true. They buried thousands of these unplayable game cartridges in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. They didn't know what to do with it. They can't sell it. So we needed this just to go away. The best thing to do is let's take it to a landfill. And they cemented it into a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Atari would later declare bankruptcy. Atari played the fame game and they lost everything. Can I tell you that content matters? Sure, the fancy name got people to look at that video game, got some people to buy that video game. But because it didn't have content in it, once they got home to play it, they were in serious trouble. The name on the cover received a lot of attention, but it was not enough. When people discovered the content inside was worthless, it brought about the end of a video game empire. A name without content will always end up in the garbage. A name without content, we're talking content of character. We're talking about content of honesty. We're talking about integrity. We're talking about patience and discipline. We're talking about content. If you don't have content in your life, it doesn't matter what your name is, it will end up in the garbage. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The world we live in is consumed with names. They are consumed with celebrity without giving much thought to the content of character within the person. But the truth is that content matters. A name is not enough. Attention from people is not enough. Being able to drop names of celebrities in conversation will never benefit your life like unshakable character will benefit your life. We need to avoid the fame game. We need to stop playing the fame game. That's the game where we get our value from the attention of other people. I want to tell you about a famous king named Uzziah. Can you say Uzziah? Now, this is a pretty big deal king in the history of Israel, but I would gather that most of us have not heard about Uzziah. So you're going to learn something today. Are you ready? If you have your Bibles with me, turn to 2 Chronicles 26, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to be reading a bunch. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. All right? This young king Uzziah, he was how old?
16.
He was 16. Let me tell you, he was impressive. He was impressive, just learned to drive. Yeah, that's right. He, only 16 years old, becomes king. And 2 Chronicles 26, the rest of this chapter, gives his resume. And let me tell you, it is impressive. Reading verse 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Who gave him success?
God.
All right. There are a lot of kings in Israel that never had this kind of description. He sought God and received success from God. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There are a lot of kings that served inside of Israel, but very few of them had such glowing things written about them. Do you want that to be how your life is described? That you seek God and that God gives you success? Is that what you want? Raise your hand real quick all over this house. You, every hand ought to be raised. That ought to be us. Reading on, verse 6, 2 Chronicles 26. He went to war against the Philistines. Oh, wait, is the Philistines a big deal? Yeah. Did some previous kings have trouble with the Philistines? Absolutely. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He went against their largest cities and just ransacked them, broke down their walls. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. Verse 8, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. Now wait, are the Ammonites good guys or bad guys when it comes to the story of Israel? They're bad guys. If it ends in ites, they are the enemy of Israel, all right? There's some Bible scholar wisdom for you. If it ends in ites, they are bad news. The Ammonites, enemies of Israel, brought tribute to Uzziah. What is tribute? Somebody say, what's tribute?
Bribery.
What? Bribery. Money.
Money.
Treasure. Money. Right? They brought money, cash money to him. They brought gold. They brought jewels to him. And what does it say? And his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness. It wasn't enough for him to build towers in the city along the wall. He went out into the wilderness where all the farming was, where all the livestock was, and says, we need fortification here. We need to be able to beat the enemy here. He builds towers there and dug many cisterns. It's like a well. Because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain, he had people working his field and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands that he loved the soil. Verse 11, Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jeiel, the secretary of Maaseiah, and the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. Keep in reading. Verse 13, under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Verse 14, Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows and slingshots for the entire army. I want to remind you that there was a time in Israel's history, in the time of King Saul, where Israel only had two weapons among the entire army. There were two swords among the entire army. Now he is providing every one of his troops, all under 300,000 plus of them, providing them shields, spears, helmets, providing them to be the best force on earth. Yeah. Verse 15, in Jerusalem, he made devices. Invented. The dude's an inventor. It's like, what can't this dude do? He invents things for use on the towers and on the corner defenses so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. He built catapults. He built large arrow shooting devices bigger than just a bow and arrow. This dude was amazing. This dude had success. Can you tell me this? Do you agree with this word? Success matters.
Yeah, success matters.
And if you're giving pause to that, it's not a trick question, I promise. Uzziah had it going on. He had success. And you want success too in life, don't you? He had more than just a name. He had a track record of success. That's some content right there. He had success. He built things. He grew an army. He invented weaponry. He invested in his army and in his vineyards. By every definition of a king, Uzziah was a success. Uzziah was famous. His enemies knew about him and even paid tribute to him. If you were going to make a list of successful kings who ruled in Israel, Uzziah would be near the top. Personally, I think I would put him as number three, behind only David and Solomon as a successful king when it comes to these numbers that we're talking about.
That's good.
I want to tell you, success matters.
Amen.
But also, I want to remind you that content matters. They both matter. I want to remind you that content matters. And to this point in Uzziah's story, he seems to have a lot of good content in his character. Scripture says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Scripture said he was trained in the fear of the Lord. He was trained in the knowledge of what the Word of God says, and he tried to live by it.
That's good.
But I have some bad news. Success can bring pride. And pride brings destruction. Well, you notice how this is reading. Success doesn't necessarily bring pride. Success can bring pride. But pride definitely brings destruction. That's scripture. That's how it works in scripture. We all want success. God wants you to be successful. You believe that? You are seeking to be successful. All our students going back to school, you should be aiming for success. You should be trying to get the best grades possible. When you are doing athletics or doing some academics or whatever it is that you're aiming for. Aim to be the best at whatever you're doing. Aim for success. You on your job, you should be aiming for success. You should be aiming for a promotion. You should be aiming to be your boss's favorite person, not through brown nosing, but through a track record, through that you are successful, that you are trustworthy, that you are just plain awesome. And you ought to have success in your life. You want success. Success is not a bad thing, but success can be the worst thing for some people. Have you ever seen somebody that they had some success and it turned out to be a bad thing for them? People who lack content of character don't handle success very well. 2 Chronicles 26:15. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. The next verse. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. The word pride doesn't show up anywhere in this chapter until after all of his success. All of his success happens. All of his fame happens. All the tributes happen. All the amazing, skillful things. All the things that are amazing.